Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. I'm your host, Eric Heimlich, and I am here today in the studio with my very own daughter, Kaylin Heimlich. And we want to talk about
the table and all things connected to it.
No, good.
Conversations around the table.
Yeah, one of the things that has been really helpful in our family over the years, I think it's been helpful, at least I feel like it's been helpful, is that we have intentionally taken time to eat together every evening, generally without fail.
Right.
That's something that's really super important to us. And we've done that for a number of years now. So
22.
I'm not sure exactly where it got started, and I'm not sure how.
So would it have been something that you and your family did?
For the most part, yes. We ate together as a family. I don't know why I really felt like that. I can't really take credit, I guess, for saying, okay, this was something that we just intentionally did.
Right.
And yet, looking back now, I realize that, wow, this was super important. And actually, I was reading an article, I think it was from the Fuller Institute on Youth Studies, the Fuller Youth Institute. And they did a thing a while back about sticky faith and helping kids to keep their faith. And one of the five things that they identified in families whose children remain Christians over the long haul is that one of the five things they did was eat a meal together as a family regularly. Like, that was important to passing along their faith. And I would not make that connection.
Right. Not naturally. It doesn't. If you eat together, you will pass along your values through. Yeah, it doesn't. There's no physical connection. There's definitely spiritual and relational things that happen at the table. But
I think back just this past week, you know, on Tuesday, we have hospitality night, and we try to invite folks in and welcome people to our table. We've probably not always been as successful at that in terms of doing it every week. But this past week, we had a wonderful time, beautiful group of people gathered together, and friends from North Carolina came, and there was some friends from Indianapolis, and then there was another young man from the gathering, and we just had a table full of folks. And we had a beautiful meal, and Rochelle does an amazing job at cooking and preparing. And by the way, in the show notes, I'm going to include a recipe. One of our favorites, it's actually what we ate last Tuesday night, for feeding lots and lots of people, because you can do that without breaking the bank. And I think that some people feel like that, you know, if I'm going to have a meal together with people, it's just going to cost an astronomical amount. But there are actually things you can do that make it very cost effective. And so we had chicken and rice, and the way we flavor it, it's great. People love it, but it's incredibly cheap, especially when you buy rice by the 25-pound bag.
Exactly.
So anyway, we had a great time and a wonderful meal together, beautiful interaction. And then after supper, we look at scripture together and pray together as a family. And it's just, it's a wonderful thing. Well, connection though, that Rochelle was making a while back, she was reading Habits of the Household, highly recommend it, by the way, Justin Early. But one of the things that he references in that book is the difference between entertaining and hospitality. Entertaining is all about me. I want everybody to see what a beautiful place I have and how well I can put a meal together. And hospitality is about the other person. It's about making space in our lives, in our world, for them. And so even if there's toys on the floor and things haven't all been perfectly put back and we're living here,
right,
welcoming people into our space, opening the door and welcoming them in, whatever may be going on, is part of hospitality.
Because you're always going to have an excuse to not host.
Exactly.
There was a family that I spent a lot of time with in Florida that could have taken several opportunities to not host. And there were so many families that there have been, and I have heard the conversations, well, we don't have fill in the blank space, food, time, money. You can fill in the blank. But if you're going to be intentional, you can make it happen with whatever, because the point is opening your door.
Exactly.
Rosaria Butterfield in her book,
The Gospel Comes with a House Key.
Yes. She talks a lot about radical Christian hospitality, mm-hmm. and that idea of just being Jesus in your home. Mm-hmm. And that if there's laundry on the table, then you fold it. Mm-hmm. And if there's kids that need played with, then you play with them. And being intentional about letting someone not just see your perfectly crafted self, but be willing to open them to see the whole home.
Yeah.
And the beauty that's there. It's a beautiful thing.
I think back to Scott Jessup living here at Victory Acres. And he lived here for about 2 years. And there were many nights where, you know, he would come in and dinner's not ready yet and stuff's not put together. And there's, we had such great times, mm-hmm. and great conversations and things that, you know, I treasure still to this day. And I'm sure that have been an influence, at least to some degree, in his life. Mm-hmm. But I think about all those different people that we've welcomed to our table, but it starts by having a table.
Right.
Even when we don't have people over, we're still doing this. Yeah. And so because this is important to us, when we open that up and we share it, it's not like we're trying to do something different than we're doing every mm-hmm. night, you know?
Right.
This is who we are. This is what we do. And you're welcome to join us in that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's different than entertaining. Okay, we've got the china perfectly laid out. We've got all of the matching silverware, which we don't have. And we've got the beautiful candlelight mm-hmm. music in the background, all of it, you know. And now people are going to walk in and they're going to, wow, this is like a 5-star restaurant. Mm-hmm. This is great. Wow, this is amazing. But we don't do that any other time, you know.
Right.
The rest of the time we're like, you know, just grab it and go. Mm-hmm. I think, though, that for us, at least for me, this time around the dinner table, this time when we share together, is an opportunity for us to interact as a family in a way about our day, about what's important to us, about the news that's going on, about ideas, and to do that in a way where real conversation happens that can continue beyond that. That's what I see. Mm-hmm. And so it shapes thinking. It shapes the way we see the world. And I am jealous for that influence mm-hmm. in my children's lives. Mm-hmm. I know that as they grow up and move beyond my orbit, there are going to be lots of other voices that are going to be speaking into their lives. But especially during these formative years, I want the conversations that we're having around the dinner table to be the ones that they're referring back to mm-hmm. and that they're thinking about.
Right.
I want to shape that direction
yeah.
as a father. How has that shaped you? How have some of those conversations shaped you as a person, or have they?
So yes, I definitely think they have. So it kind of happened like it's happened in stages. And I think that's what you're going to find with probably all your children to some degree. There was a time where daddy and mommy's word was law. Mm-hmm. Not just law, but like perfect.
Unimpeachable.
Yes. It was if they said this, it was truth. And that was during a time because we had had so many conversations. And when we would come in from the fields, having talked to the agnostic and the atheist and the
evolutionist
and the Christian. Yeah. Anyways, there's, yeah, lots of different opinions flying around. I would come in and we would talk about it around the table.
Yeah.
And so during those years, thankfully, you had built trust enough that you weren't just ignoring my opinion or ignoring my questions, but you were being willing to talk through it for the 15th time. And so during that time, it was like mommy and daddy's word was law. Uncle Peter said recently, if you listen to them when they're young, they'll listen to you when you're old. Mm. And I think he got that somewhere, but it is true. Yeah. I was listened to as a child, and I understand it's when they've said it for the 15th time, you're like, okay, honey, you just need to be quiet. But
yeah, that whole idea that children are to be seen and not heard.
Right.
And yet we really didn't practice that.
There were times that I needed to be quiet and was told to be quiet, but often, especially at the dinner table, that was a special time where there was conversation and everybody at the dinner table could participate in it. So that was a special thing about that. As I got older, I did what my brother is doing now, and I questioned. There was a lot of things that not rebelliously questioned, just questioned, asked lots and lots of questions about, does this actually stand up to muster?
Yeah.
But there was a space, again, at the dinner table where it wasn't a place where I had to come to you with my arguments and get ready so that I could discuss this. It was an open space where we were constantly, there were walls down. And I think that's the thing that the dinner table does more than anything, is it takes walls down. And then as I've gotten older, I'm not questioning as much, but as I listen to my siblings, I sometimes have, I add to the conversation in other ways. Sometimes being antagonistic and asking the devil's advocate questions. And anyways, it's very fun. It's very wonderful. And there's lots of healthy interactions, but they can only happen when walls are down. You can't have those kinds of conversations when everybody's ready for a fight. Or
yeah. Yeah. No, it's a special kind of time. And I think the dinner table is that kind of the work of the day has been finished.
Right.
We're headed into an evening where we're slowing down now. You know, another thing I was thinking about is that an impediment to this kind of thing is all the other stuff that many families fill their lives with. And again, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And we're not a big sports family. We're not a big, we're going to do
it.
We have, but we're not a big, let's get our kids into every event possible kind of family. And let's be doing all these other things that take us away from the things that are central for us. And so because of that, there are some things that maybe you've quote unquote missed out on. Talk about that. Do you feel like that you've missed out because we've just eaten together as a family, that we prioritized that kind of life as a family that is at times intentionally said no to things that a lot of other families were saying yes to? What do you think?
I think I would have felt a loss if it was a drudgery to be together. And the fact that you guys wanted to be with us as kids is a big reason why, like, of course we do meals together. Why wouldn't we? I can't imagine growing up in a house where your parents don't want to talk to you. I think in a place where parents have not prioritized conversations with their children, it makes sense that by the time they're teenagers, of course they don't want to talk to their parents. Their parents have never wanted to listen to them, and not even just listen, but have never wanted to engage with them, have never enjoyed being with them. There's a big difference between just listening and being willing to hear and respond. And I remember especially after mama started having seizures, a phrase that she said multiple times, and it just started to work its way into my heart and my understanding. And she was like, I love being with you guys.
No, I feel that.
And it was a very simple sentence. It's not like a profound word of wisdom. And yet that truth began to take effect in my heart, that I actually, like, I came home after college. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be here again. Mm-hmm. And there are other things, like, I am in a separate season of life now. So there's different things. I'm not saying all your children will just come home.
No, probably not.
No, but there was joy in being together that, I mean, I couldn't have gotten from playing volleyball for 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that your kids have opportunities to engage outside the home.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. I think that's very valuable. But I also think that if they have a firm jumping off place, they'll find those connections.
Mm-hmm.
They need to hear you and to hear your words of wisdom and to hear your criticism, and to hear your nudges in the right direction.
Yeah. Which may take the form of criticism, but hopefully constructive. You know, I think that the dinner table and really creating a space there that is warm and winsome and inviting. So it starts with good food, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to have good food if you're going to have a good dinner table. So learning to cook some things that your family likes to eat would be an important place. Now, we don't have a clean your plate rule, but we do have you're going to try this
mm-hmm.
before offering an opinion, 3 bites. There's an expectation that we're not going to complain about this. We're not going to say, you know, I don't like this. Mommy's worked hard on this. And this is something that you're going to at least try.
Mm-hmm.
And so
opening, and this is an expectation that we are still working through. It's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Like just last night.
Right.
Not necessarily for you, but from some of the younger members of our family. But I think though that, you know, starting with good food
mm-hmm.
and then for us having good background music.
Yeah.
And it's kind of become a joke.
A joke.
But,
yeah.
But you know, you got to have music that fits the meal. And so we have Italian music when we're eating Italian food, and we have some beautiful, relaxing dinner music for those candlelight dinners. And so there's a variety at our dinner table as far as the background music. But to me, I think the overall ambiance,
mm-hmm.
I love that word, the ambiance of the meal is something that creates a lasting memory,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's done over and over and over again.
Right.
This is a place I want to come back to. This is something that I want to do again. And this is beautiful. And I want to create that. And so having that, and then having engaging conversations where not everyone is talking at once. There's not 5 different conversations necessarily that are going on at the table. Not everybody is necessarily always talking about things that they're very interested in,
mm-hmm.
but everyone is engaging.
Yeah.
And that everyone has an opportunity to be able to participate. And it's a little bit like playing volleyball, you know, you bump mm-hmm. and somebody bumps back. And so nobody gets to just sit there and, you know, hog the ball.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just say, you know, here I am. I'm going to hold forth now and all the rest of you are going to listen. That's not the way that dinner table conversation works. But, mm-hmm. but in doing that, you're learning things. You're learning how to interact with mm-hmm. others.
Right.
You're learning how to engage in the free flow of ideas. And so as we bring up, you know, what's going on in the world today, did anybody hear what the latest news is? And I'll share many times the first that, you know, people have heard of this. And so now we talk about, you know, what do we think about the new Speaker of the House and
mm-hmm.
what's going on in Israel and the situation in Gaza right mm-hmm. now? What's happening in our world? And then discussing that in a way that, you know, questions arise. And what should we as Christians do in this situation mm-hmm. if we're faced with this? So we're engaging ideas. We're having some good food. We're having this beautiful overall experience that mm-hmm. we're being drawn into. And then as we finish that time, finishing that, at least for us, is we found a good time to have our family devotions. Mm-hmm. And so entering into the word, spending some time together praying and sometimes discussing, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on there.
Yeah. And that's an open door, especially if you do hospitality during that time, because the kids already, your kids already have that built into their rhythm. It's not strange for daddy to go and get the Bible. Yeah.
Oh, wow. He's going to evangelize the neighbors.
Right. It's just, it's a part of
this is what we do.
Right. And it is an open door. The other night we were talking about, a passage in Isaiah.
Yeah.
And the couple that had come over had a question about the passage. And so we were able to talk, not that specific passage, but a passage connected, and mm-hmm. we were able to talk about it. And I think it was wonderful. It was amazing the way that God works. But I think that, so I wanted to kind of clarify-ish this, presenting the ideal doesn't mean that it is always
ideal.
Ideal, right.
No. And if you would sit at our dinner table, it's not it's right. not a perfect picture of peace, love, and justice always.
And that's the thing, is all the key word is always. Like, uh-huh. there are nights that it is beautiful and wonderful and seemingly perfect. And then there are other nights that we are tense. Mm-hmm. We've had bad days. We are not okay. And so we come to the dinner table and again have to do this exercise of discipline, this beautiful exercise. And yet mm-hmm. it is a discipline. You have to do it whether you feel like it or not. And then there's also bringing someone into that. If you feel like, well, it's got to be ideal before I bring someone into this, like we can't have any tension. There have been times where we have been tense. Mm-hmm. And it is important that your children understand how to set aside tension, mm. not cover it, not pretend like it's not there, but recognize that the people that are coming to your table, the people that are coming to your home, are more important than the scuffle. They're more important than my hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to set aside our differences for this time, and we're going to engage in this together. So that's hard, but it's good. And it's important that your children be able to see you work through those things before and after, mm-hmm. And even sometimes during.
And sometimes during.
there's last thing. I there have been times that we have gone for several weeks, months without having people in our home. And there is always awkwardness when you get back into it. Mm-hmm. Like having someone in your home for the first time, for the 15th time, honestly, there's always this like, okay, how do we do this again? We talk about, I'm smiling too much. I'm not smiling enough.
Those are the things that are going through your head.
Right. And so you have to, it's like riding a bike. Mm-hmm. Once you've got it, you can get back into it, but you've got to remember it's not about you. Mm-hmm. And then just relax, because if you are spending your time with Jesus, if you are loving people the way he would love them, that's going to show through, even if you are uncomfortable in the process.
Yeah.
But you will be uncomfortable in the process. Just, you can get used to that fact.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, being uncomfortable is not a bad thing.
No. Yeah.
And so pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And again, when we're doing hospitality and not just entertaining.
Right.
The point is not that they come away saying, wow, you know, the Heimlichs can really put on the dog here. Right. This is an amazing, you know, thing. It's all about, did we really make Jesus look good?
Right.
Did we lift him up? Was he the one who was glorified mm. in our time together? That's really the question. And if we did that in spite of our weakness, in spite mm. of our difficulties, then it was a success.
Right.
And if we didn't do that, it really doesn't matter whether we put on a, 9-course meal in a like a 5-star restaurant, it's it's not the point. So I think that we're still learning on all this and trying to continue to develop our hospitality muscles. Mm-hmm. One of the books that was really influential in my life a few years ago was Making Room by Christine Pohl, Recovering the Art of Christian Hospitality. Amazing book. She was in a place and they were taking in homeless people. And she was staying there upstairs in a bedroom. And so she was sleeping and it began to rain at about 2 o'clock in the morning. She could hear people outside in the courtyard of the house where they were at coughing, laying outside in the rain. And she was just terribly disturbed by that. And the next morning they were talking about this over breakfast. And she said, you know, how do you live knowing this? And the lady said, we never accept it. She said, but we've recognized that it is not a sin to be finite. That at the end of the day, there's only so many people that we can serve. There's only so many people that we can allow to come in and to be able to serve them in the way that we need to. Right. And at some point, we have to shut the door and we have to be willing to say, Lord, this is all we can do. We never callous our hearts to that.
Right.
And yet at the same time, we have to be willing at some point to draw a line and say, this is all I can do. And I think the same is true in hospitality. Mm-hmm. You know, we would love to be able to do like tons more. And I think there's capacity.
Yeah.
Probably for most of us to do more, to welcome in the strangers that are among us and those that that are neighbors and others. And I think that instead of inviting people to your church, invite them to your dinner table. I mean, for crying out loud, it happens every night. And it's not that hard. It's really not that hard. And the opportunity that's there.
It's scary, but it's not hard.
It's not. It really isn't. And so I think if we could do that and we could continue to develop those relationships as we bring people along in the journey, wow, what an opportunity.
Yeah.
And yet it's not a sin to be finite.
No.
At some point, there's only so much we can do. There are only so many relationships in which we can invest. And so being willing to say, you know, this is what we can do. And this is what Jesus is calling us to. And not just doing this out of guilt or out of necessity, but doing this because this is what God is calling us to. I just think that there's an opportunity there for Christians that's far, far too often underutilized. And if we can develop those hospitality muscles, if we can develop a dinner table that is vibrant and robust and beautiful for our families, we've got something that
to share.
We can share with the world.
Which, not ironically, is also a picture of the church and the opportunity that we have when we share together, when we love together, when we worship together. That is what we invite people into.
Yes.
That is what we
as often want. As you do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says, over a meal.
Right.
And again, we've kind of taken that and just put it into this little box of communion.
Juice.
But it was a meal.
Right.
With his friends. And as often as you're doing this, remember I'm there. I'm present among you. You know, the early Christians had their love feasts. That's what they call them. And it was a time of a beautiful communion and celebration of the risen Lord. And it is that intimacy and it is that place that Jesus shared with his disciples and then gives them an invitation, take this and share it. One more book I want to reference in relation to this is The Life-Giving Table by Sally Clarkson. Again, goes into far more detail on this and would recommend reading it if you want to think more on these topics. But it just makes me want to go and fix a meal and sit down and eat it.
Right.
So anything else before we finish up here?
I think we've touched on this, but just that it all happens in the day-to-day. It's really mundane. Mm-hmm. When it comes right down to it, if you actually do it, you're not going to wake up and be like, today is the day for hospitality and life together with my family. It just literally happens as you're like, discipline yourself and do it while you're doing laundry. It's your willingness to selflessly acknowledge the needs and the desires and to love others. So what I'm trying to say is don't expect it to be fireworks.
Yeah.
But it can be beautiful. So.
Absolutely.
Push through.
Push through. Good word. Well, thank you for joining us today. And again, if you have found the podcast helpful, I encourage you to subscribe and share this with others. And I hope that it is an encouragement to you wherever you're at, wherever you are in your journey. Things that we are gleaning and gathering. God bless.